Todd, say hello and welcome. You're listening to the Voices of Our People on the Wind Speaker Radio Network. I'm Daniel Barker Trombley, and it's Seagot Soon. On today's show, I'm honored to speak with Ashley Collingbull from Enoch Cree Nation. Welcome to the show, Ashley.
Thank you for having me. Excited to chat.
Now, I have to ask you, to top things off, you know, let's talk about a little bit about your life growing up within Enoch Cree Nation. Can you talk about some of your experiences growing up within Enoch?
Within Enoch, you know, I grew up with my grandparents, my Kukum and Mushum, George and Charlotte Collingbull, and they were a medicine man and medicine woman. So the way that I was brought up was really traditional. We had the sweat lodge and ceremonies. And, you know, my Kukum always taught me to be proud of who I am, to be proud of, you know, my skin color and my background, because that's what makes me beautiful. And I just want to carry like their traditions and their strengths with me everywhere that I go. So how I grew up has really influenced everything that I do in my life now.
And of course, with your Kukum as well, you know, at the age of 10 years old, you got on to win a lot of princess crowns within Enoch Cree Nation. Was that one of your inspirations? Was that the one thing that clicked into your head, like, I want to do this when I grow up and get older to become more involved within pageantry?
I wasn't even thinking of it that way. I wanted to do something for my community, and I love to dance. And I really wanted to represent my community some way. And in my mind, I was thinking maybe someday I can become Miss Indian World. Like, those were dreams of mine as a little girl. I never thought, like, you know, all these other big dreams as well. So I was happy just to represent my community at different powwows and different events. So my Kukum was definitely my support system, and my mom, 100%. And it's kind of crazy how pageants have still been a part of my life till now.
And of course, now, you know, with your Kukum being one of your many inspirations, who are some of your other role models that helped you shape you into the person that you are today, that gave you some life advice as you grew older within Enoch?
My mom, for sure. You know, just because of everything that she's overcome, we've overcome it together, and I've carried a lot of strength from her. I've learned how to treat people and how to always, like, I guess, push for what's best for myself. And I think because of having those two strong women in my life, it's really influenced me to also be a role model for other women, you know, to want to help other women instead of treating them like they're my competition. For me, it's about like that indigenous sisterhood. You know, I feel like if one of us is thriving, so much more of us can be thriving together. So that mentality, them helping me, has definitely shaped everything that I do now. And but another role model of mine, who isn't from Enoch, but everyone knows, Buffy St. Marie, is a huge role model to me. She was actually the one woman that helped me in my first pageant when I was overcoming racism and, you know, overcoming how to deal with being in the public spotlight. She helped me a lot. Just her words of encouragement really pushed me and kind of lit a fire under my butt to keep pushing for my dreams and think about, you know, how many other women are looking up to me in this position. So those three women 100% have, you know, really helped me excel and become the strong woman I am now.
Were you almost starstruck when you met Buffy St. Marie in person for the first time? Were you like, oh my goodness, that's Buffy?
You know, you recognize her smile and her style from far away. When I first met her, yeah, definitely starstruck, but it was her energy that really pulled me in, and it made me feel like we've known each other for a while. Like, that's how Buffy makes people feel, is just so welcoming, like their family. So that feeling, it just felt so good. And that's the feeling that I want other people to feel when they meet me as well, is that, you know, they're comfortable, welcoming, and feel like that, yeah, they can dare to dream big too.
Well, I know that's exactly how I felt when I first met you. We were out on the field together inside Commonwealth Stadium for the very first ever Indigenous Games celebration event. And I was like, oh, yeah, my goodness, that's Ashley Collingbull. Like, I see you on Edmonton Oilers. I see you all over the place. And I thought to myself, I said, there's no way, because I remember my boss, he was like, you got to get an interview with Ashley. You got to get an interview with the chief that's down in the field and all these other people. And I'm like, there's no way they're going to say yes to me. But you were so kind and genuine when I first met you in person. Now, after completing your studies within the Bachelor of Science in Communications and your arts degree, you focused on drama, acting, and television as well. Did you know that you always wanted to get involved with the world of sports, as in, you know, being a game show host or game host for the CFL and the NHL?
you know what? I am a big like sports fan. Like I grew up watching hockey. My whole family is involved in sports. And I myself was growing up a dancer and I did track and field. It was hard to really imagine, you know, myself as a woman, as an Indigenous woman being in the field of sports and, you know, being an in-game host. That's not something I imagined. And when that came to me, you know, I was doing more hosting appearances and gigs and whatnot. And when that opportunity came my way, I was like, okay, this is major. This is like not just opening a big door for me. I was like, but for other women as well, because women in sports in a male-dominated like arena, basically, it's already hard enough. But then also being that representation for Indigenous people, I thought it's so important to see more of us in these spaces and also like for them to hear my ideas and actually take them into action. That's really what's most important for me, is that I'm not just a face, is that I'm actually, you know, making waves behind everything as well. So now that I'm in the sports world, like CFL, NLL, NHL, on TSN, it's just like, it's so crazy to me to like think of it now. And I'm like, wow, like I can't believe, you know, little old Ashley from Enoch is dominating in the sports world. But it just goes to show that anything really is possible if you just dare to dream it.
And that is words to live by as well, you know, especially for me. Like, I didn't think, as, you know, being Métis, born and raised, you know, from Lac La Biche, Alberta, I thought to myself, man, there's no way I could see myself being in the radio industry, let alone behold working for a station that, you know, I grew up listening to, and so did my Uncle Pete and many others. And now I'm, you know, standing next to Ashley Collingbull on a football field in the middle of Commonwealth Stadium during an Indigenous game celebration, and now interviewing her for Voices, of course. And, you know, as you said, you know, it's all about if you dare to dream it, you can do it. If you can see it in your head, you have the courage enough to speak it, it'll happen. And now I have to ask you as well, is, you know, speaking of trailblazing moments, you've also, you know, while you were competing for Miss Universe, you wore a dress that, you know, that aimed towards to raise awareness for the MMIW, which was designed by Leslie Hampton. How did it feel to showcase that message on that platform for all eyes to see?
I wore that gown for her runway show, not for the pageant, but I have worn her gowns and other outfits for to represent MMIW at Mrs. Universe. When I wear these things, you know, these designers are artists in their own right. And I remember when I first Toronto Fashion Week, and at that time it was rare to even see an Indigenous artist like being the head designer of the night. You know, it was so rare, and it was rare to see Indigenous models. And I remember when I first wore it, like, I realized the power that that dress stood for. You know, all the dots were representing, you know, the sisters that we've lost. And instead of, you know, I guess making her collection like other designers do, where it represents something else, she decided to represent our people and bring awareness to something, to a topic that is not easy to hear and not easy to see, but to bring it in mainstream fashion like that and to let everyone know that this is the truth and this is what we're really living through. That made me feel like we're making a really powerful statement, but we're also, you know, making waves, because who knows what's going to happen after that. And that's what gets people talking, and that's where we start the discussion, and then that's when we start making.
And of course, you also went on to win Miss Universe in 2015. What was going through your head in that very moment?
I couldn't believe it, honestly. when it happened, I didn't do the traditional crying that some pageant girls would do. I literally threw both of my fists up in the air because I just couldn't believe it. I was just so proud. Like, I felt really pumped, like happy, because I thought, you know, like, oh my God, like how many young Indigenous girls are, you know, seeing their faces reflected in mine and thinking that, you know, this could be them too, or they could, you know, accomplish anything they set their mind to. For me at that moment, I was excited that I made history, but I was also thinking, what can I do with it? You know, what can I do with this platform? What can I do with my voice? You know, instead of just waving at people and, you know, being this stereotypical beauty queen, I wanted to be more than that. I thought, you know, I could really be an ambassador and use my voice for so much good. and of opportunity, I think about what more opportunities can I create from that.
And of course, you, as you said, you were an ambassador. You know, you were able to, you know, get right into the politics, into the thick of things in that nature. What inspired you to, you know, to do that, to jump in and say, you know what, our voices need to be heard through, you know, through many of these platforms, just by using the platform and the name that you you earned through the Miss Universe?
Yeah, I lost my sister when I was younger, when I was 14, and I ended up, like, volunteering for a bunch of different organizations, and then I started working with kids who are in the foster care system, and then, you know, you see things you don't want to see, but you see the truth, and a lot of these kids are living through things that I lived through when I was younger, and I just wanted to create better opportunities, and, you know, I learned the importance and the value of my voice, and when I was in this position for Miss Universe, I knew that we were at a critical time of the federal election. And I thought I can either just, you know, celebrate with my family and go home and leave it at that, or I can actually, you know, make a difference, open people's eyes, let our voices be heard. I'm like, if not me, then, you know, when, right? Like, why wait? And that was the one thing people were mad about. They thought, who in the hell does she think she is? When are pageant girls ever political? And I'm like, no, like, I've lived this life. I know what it's like to see these things and experience these things. Me as an Indigenous person, like, it's so important to use my voice and encourage others to use theirs as well. And it can really create such a positive and powerful ripple effect.
And it did just that, you know, with that, when you hear the name of Miss Universe makes, you know, a big splash within the world of politics, of course, it's going to turn heads. And especially when it comes to, you know, giving, you know, speaking for the, you know, being the voice of the voiceless, right? Those that can't speak for themselves. And, you know, you're also doing an inspirational thing by inspiring those to do just the same with that. And, you know, with you doing that back in 2015, 2016, now seeing what's happened, you know, since the 2015 discovery in Kamloops, what has been your overall thought since seeing the, you know, the recognition that Indigenous people have now been seeing and being heard after the 2015 discovery with the Truth and Reconciliation Movement?
There could be so much more, honestly. There could be so much more for our people. It's honestly been so heartbreaking seeing, you know, finding the bodies, the discoveries, and knowing that both my grandparents are residential school survivors. It's been hard for my grandpa, who's still with us. There's so much more that could be done for our people. There's so much more that could be put into place. Yes, there are things and acknowledgements that we get now, but for me, I think, like, well, what took so long? You know, I always think that way. What took so long? I don't want to have to. For me right now, I feel like I'm fighting for, like, my future grandchildren, and I don't even have children yet. I just want to make sure that they have equal rights, that there's that equality, that we are treated, you know, not less than our value. And that is just what's so important to me, is that there is so much more that could be done.
That was Ashley Colleague Bowl from Enoch Cree Nation in Northern Alberta. You're listening to the voices of our people on the Windspeaker Radio Network. I'm Daniel Barker-Tremblay. Next, we continue our conversation with Charlie Fox from Kainai Nation in Southern Alberta. Being as an elder, Charlie, you know, with that importance of that role, you have so many people coming up to you for, you know, advice, and also with to be educated within, you know, the culture, the language, the background of the Blackfoot. So when it comes to with the times that we're now in, you know, with the Truth and Reconciliation Movement, and as well as the, you know, with the hunger and the drive for those both Indigenous and non-Indigenous to know more about the Blackfoot culture, for those that are from the Blackfoot descendants that haven't grown up with the language per se or the culture itself, what would your advice be to those that, you know, want to learn how to speak the Blackfoot language and to tap into the vein more into their culture and, as you said earlier, their identity?
That's a good question. The thing that I see, is that in our language, and having an oral history, we have a really good understanding of our language, you know, and the concepts and the different ceremonies and whatnot, what all the significance of these things that our people did in the past. I guess you could say our culture is embedded in our language. And so we didn't have the crutches that we have today, you know. If there's something that you want to research, you know, it's right in front of you, you know. We live in a fast world, you know, as computers are there. Amukka, Batapiu, Sinoni, Amgiskukti, and Martin is to come home, Moki Batapiu, Sinoni. And Moki is to go to meet us, the Gokitsi. Okay, Amukka Eastern on the Hanister Batapiu, Obama Giskukti. The Gamar is sleep on Moksinakshi. The Stunnona is the name always the Matsuits. Ah, Muskanoman is the Mohakus Bummoksu. Yaksigan your bar, Apple Motsi of a Mosiska. Well, Makitapi Mosiska. Is the Matsakusti. En nakku tää pummuotsi joka mu päätä piuksi tuonne. Maama tapioa, että mii, tam sokotista piitsimisi, niin päätä piuksi, ja käni meistä mitsi uukkina tuumaakin. Maksi, maksistu tiisimo.
Agenir, dann raus, liebes Gay. Sei Christus, Senja.
agita sa tsuma matapi. Akama payo ki chipui. Amo so sa gitta miwok taipui. Jackson Mutuz, Knipa, Ginatsix, and Stapi, Stapui. Summit Honesty Nida Hutsi, Exit Pistol CP. Akhtot Stapi, Tipim of the Tipur. Gigamada Bits, Kinimats, Tokia, and was he the Skinimats? He was Ah, Sakapi, Gunsbo Gaxi. He boys the Matam of the Tipur, Sinuni. And he had any doubts of a gap, you are. Maksta mii kaatu kukuusen on yks maksin saakki tsiipuuksin nomi. Ouki, ken huuksi, aiken jo taamuksi, is saani miksen hannis tapaati. Nistun hatsitsin, nukuusiks no hatsitsin ni puja, mitä maadan vai, nii taapsu pii tsiipu liheksa, ja otsista piitsimia. Aidan istiu, nakkut, Iskinin jaue, niinkin siistä tuomissa on, mahatsi, makskini samukni teippojuupi, kyllä kaamuksi tiaanista vähän, taisi sitä piiopi, tässä piiopi, niin saa kaa johtsimia. Anjaako tuutskinin jaue, ikä kakkumaa piu ammukkaa, kiistön nolan, Hänestä päätä piio kaamo ni teippo jo pingi toistumatsta kiu piio. Ni toatsi muisto piio. Muki tsiipuksi no ni kenni jauksta mit hänestä. Mä oon tapi agitsi tapoo mi. En haama kani on. A kuka tsi mi kakitsi. Mä rääkse ei jää päätsi muista niin somuski tapiiksi. Tuo hän saa keitä siipu jo kiistä, no maasta mukana oaatsi tuupaatsi. Tuo kikene saa jokkutassa, kun näitä apiva miehiä. Aaksa miehiä. Aaksa matsi muihkau. Tiaaksa to muhto kiipa miehiä. Matsi muihkaan iks, kun näitä apiva. Ikä mä ei innaa kimiini kännistä api. Kikaa kutsuks pommoksa. Anne miksi sitä piiksi, aikikotsi sitä piitsi, hän jääkö kutsi spommoksia. Mitä pii, innoa piiva mokkaa, ja tsiipuksin oli. Mitä mä ajattelin sitä sijoa, mutta onko sitä piikaa, eikö mä olen sitä teippuja. Mutta mun olisi kauheista matsoa, että pitäisi saamua. Mitä voista matsoa, että pitäisi agumannista, koska niitä miehistä matsoa. Istannist sijoat, haksta miehistä matsuutspi, haksta muhtsas sitä piio. Saa meni ottaa, eikä miteistä matsuutski, ni tennoutoupi, jaamo ni tae, jaaks tiipes, kiun tähän, haksta mukana otsiks niipa mii. Okei, mun ni tae, maama tapi miehistä tauista matsuutspi, maama kita piio. Kitaakin teistä matsuu, kitä ne kitää pummuu. Me uste otsiksi niin piu. Kista ita muhtanistio, kitsiksi kimmo, kumista omkita piu. Kenneekin, kitsi kimmiisi, kit jaksi pummuisi, anje, kitsiikitsistä tunnjaa. Mun kenheit kista noin kipäätä piuoksi, noin mun kimma piipitsi, niin Mumkki te piiksi, asita piiksi, aoista matsia, niin päätä piuussin. Ajaksi kuotsia läikse. Äska pimmiä läikse, äsimmiä läikse. Kie. Käykin jo kestsaakat sijaa, läikse mahtsii kaakki mahtia. Näikse, kun sä esityksät sijaa. Aamuskei, on kohkanoan stupia. Vaikka aduhat siikon huoksi sitä piiksi suotsin ja sitä pohjaa kahvia. Ikka miika, kima tuossa saa kiitästiä. Hän haamuksi väkäätä pii äsuki siipiiksi. Aakkutteista matsta kutuun ja annista paapi. Anne, hän näin hän siinäkin spummaan ensin. That's little bit of advice was able to.
That was Elder Charlie Fox from Kainai Nation in Southern Alberta on Voices of Our People. I'd like to thank today's special guests for joining us, Ashley Collingbull and Elder Charlie Fox. Tune in next Thursday for more Voices of Our People on the Windspeaker Radio Network.